Well, good evening. How are you? It's good to see all of you. Are you glad to be in church? Amen. We are in the right place, aren't we? Amen. Hallelujah. God is good to us. Do you believe for good things in your life? Amen. He's faithful, isn't he? Hallelujah. You know, it's good to be back. I haven't had to get ready in over 2 weeks. Tonight when I was doing my hair, I couldn't remember how much gel to use. And then I thought the right amount on my finger. I said, okay, now I forgot which way does that collet go. This collet goes this way. So if I'm a mess tonight, it's because I'm trying to remember what to do, you know. The deer, they don't seem to care about what my hair looks like. So I just don't do it. But it's good to be here. We're going to get something tonight. I'm excited about the service to be back in the house of God with all of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you come expecting tonight? Amen. I know you did. Saturday night, got to come expecting Saturday night. So real quick, just some announcements. The midweek services in South Dayton will start back up on Wednesday, December 2nd. I know it's a little bit of a trek for people that go to the church regularly here, but you always have live stream that can transport you there real quick. And again, we'll pick up midweek services here. We're believing God for ushers, for help. And so don't let that go. Your faith is needed too. And so we're believing God for change in that direction. But until then, we encourage you to get your midweek feeding online in South Dayton or come on up to service. That again will be December 2nd at 6:30. And also don't forget, next Saturday is the last Saturday of the month. And so we'll bless the kids, but also it's our building fund. And so come ready to give and be a blessing. Hallelujah. Go with me to Galatians 6 and verse 7. We're going to take up the offering now. We'll put it in the bucket as we leave service. But Galatians chapter 6. In verse 7, actually, Kim Lai, if you'd pull that up in the Amplified Bible. Galatians 6 and verse 7. I was trying to tune the guitar tonight. It was way out of tune. It was almost like someone hasn't played it in a while. What's going on around here? But go ahead and go to the next slide or the end of that verse. Look at the last sentence says. It says, for whatever a man sows, that and only that is what he will reap. Years ago, I played. Now, this is after I was born again, after out of high school and things. Actually, I got born again by being on a baseball team, a traveling baseball team that went around Cattaraugus County. And there was a friend of mine. Well, I became friends with. His name is Reverend Randy Nelbone from the Jamestown Family Church, and he led me to Jesus on that team. But there was a game one time we were playing a home game. We played our home games in Frewsburg. And it was a cast of characters on this team, and we had a guy on the team. You always know there's that guy that's just kind of got the big mouth and just says the wrong things and just kind of put a dark cloud over things, you know. Well, he did this one time. We were up to bat, so we're all in the dugout getting ready to for our inning. You know, we just come in off the field, and he made a statement about somebody. Somebody had just gone through something really, really bad in their life. Well, this person on my team didn't like this person. And so it was an awful thing that this person went through, but they made the statement, you get what you deserve. And when they said that, it was just a cruel, mean-hearted, you know, kind of cast a dark cloud. And it's just one of those ones where you cringe when you hear somebody say something like that. But he said, well, because everybody knew it was in the papers and knew what had happened, and everybody knew that this person had suffered somewhat of a tragedy. And for them to say that, it was just, regardless of how you felt, it was just a nasty comment. Well, the next inning, we go out to take the field, and he's playing third base, and I'm playing shortstop. Now, for those of you that have no idea what shortstop and third base is, shortstop is the position in between second base and third base. And if you don't know what second base and third base is, I can't help you tonight. We got way too many baseball problems here, so we'll try to help you another time with that. But anyways, I'm playing shortstop, he's playing third base, so I'm right next to him. And the next inning after he makes that comment, well, you get what you deserve. A hard line drive came to him that was a short hop, and it hit the rock right in front of him. We played on kind of a rough field. It came up. And, you know, we didn't have thousands of people in the stands cheering us on. I know that's what you probably thought, but we had nobody, you know. We can't even get family to come to these games, you know. Who wants to come on? I'll just play a bunch of washed-up baseball players, you know. And he gets hit square in the teeth. And you can hear it through the whole park. Teeth go flying. Blood goes flying. And he slams. This is what he does, kind of guy he was. Slams his glove on the ground. Utters a few choice words that I'll leave to your own imagination, leaves his glove on the ground, walks off the field in the middle of the inning, blood come out of his mouth, gets in his vehicle, drives away, never seen him again in my life. And I'm not kidding you. But my thought was, like everybody else on my team's thought was, yep, you get what you deserve. Now, I don't know if that's true, that you get what you deserve, but I do know what is true. You get what you sow. And the Bible says you will sow what you reap. Imagine if the Bible was true. How would this change, not only financially, how would this change everything we do? Everything we sow into, everything we put into. Because why? Everything comes with a harvest. That cruelty you sow is the cruelty you're going to receive. That unkindness, that harshness, that judgmental attitude, that condemnation attitude that you're sowing towards others, that's what you receive. When you are expecting to receive a big financial harvest, if you're not sowing big financially, you can't receive that. If you sow cheapskateness and stinginess, that's what you'll reap. Jesus said through Paul, the word here, the Holy Ghost said, whatever you sow, that's what you can expect to reap. And I know we're taking up tithes and offerings, but it really translates into so many areas, right? But think about it financially. We know we need harvest time, but every farmer knows my harvest time is going to depend on what my sowing time looked like. Amen? So praise God, whether or not you get what you deserve, see, and that's the thing. A lot of people, why deserve a raise? Why deserve more money? Well, I deserve this, I deserve that. Well, you don't get in life what you deserve. You definitely get in life what you sow. Amen? Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and let's pray over our offering and believe God for a big harvest. Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful, so thankful for the opportunity to support this work, to sow into the kingdom of God. And Father, I thank you as we give tonight, we declare all the needs of Family Church Allegheny are met. Father, we're fully funded, fully supplied. All the money, all the properties, all the buildings, all the equipment, and all the people we need to do what you've called us to do, it comes. And Father, the balance on the mortgage for this church, we call it obliterated. We call it wiped out. We call it paid off. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the miracle, Father. It'll happen. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and glory. And Lord, those that are faithful to obey you financially in the tithe and in the offering, to do what you have said to do in their heart, Father, I thank you they walk into increase. They walk into promotions, divine ideas, wisdom and favor financially. And Father, I thank you for increase. Lord, we're not trying to be blessed to be selfish. We're endeavoring to be blessed to be a bigger blessing. So we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you ready to worship with me? Amen. Well, stand to your feet. Let's just begin to praise. Come on and start heaping praises on him. Let him know how good he is. Father, we love you tonight. You are wonderful. You are mighty. Father, you are so, so good. None like you. Father, we praise your holy name. None like you, Lord. Glory to God. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. Again. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. There's healing. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. No other name I know. There is power, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Again, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know, no other. No other name I know. No other name I know. Praise God. We worship you, Lord. Father, we believe in your goodness. We trust that you are faithful tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we bless you tonight. We're so grateful. Lord, we know that we can believe in you and your goodness for our life by what you did for us through your Son, Jesus. He is a demonstration of your love, of your mercy, of your kindness. So you might be facing uncertain times and things that maybe you don't understand, but you can understand this. God's good, and he's for you. He has a plan for your life. Jesus is he's the picture of that. Praise God. He's the proof of that. He's the demonstration of that love. Hallelujah. We worship you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven earth proclaim that kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Praise God.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim that kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Oh, Jesus, that name of Jesus. We're so grateful for the name of Jesus. Father, I'm sold out to you and your goodness. Father, I'm sold out to you and your mercy. Father, I'm sold out to your plan in this world, in our life, Father. The devil would love to make us think that you don't care, that you're not for us, that there's other things that you're more concerned with. But Father, the truth is, through Jesus, we know that you are endeavoring to work miracles in our lives, to be the absolute biggest blessing possible. You gave your all for us. And if just one of us would have decided to receive him, well, the rest of eternity in the world would reject him. You would have sent him just for me. You'd have sent him just for these people. Thank you so much. You love us so much. We praise you tonight. We're so grateful to be in the house of God. Father, we never want to take this time for granted as it's some mundane and repetitive thing. It's an honor to be in your presence. And you said this, that you inhabit the praises of your people. You said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you'd be in the midst of us. So we know this is not mundane. This is not repetitive. We know this is not just ordinary. Jesus is here. This is extraordinary. This is special tonight. And Father, we come hungry. We come with expectation. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You may be seated.
You know, I was telling myself, I'm going to tell you the good parts. I got to tell you the bad parts, all the bad parts, good parts and things. You know, I was in my office. I had to give myself a little spanking for pride. Say, what are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Well, I was thinking in my office how I was having trouble figuring out how to get ready tonight, doing my hair and the gel and all that stuff. But then I looked in the mirror and I saw my tie and I said, still haven't forgot how to do that. I said, look at that divot. I said, that's pride. Stop it. I had a pastor one time come up to me. He's so sharp dressed all the time. It was in California. He said, you got to show me how to tie your ties. I said, that's top secret. These divots are top secret, man. You got to pay a premium to know how to do that. But I'm messing with you, of course. Oh, man. Take a joke, right? Come on, take a joke. Well, are you glad to be here? Amen. Go to Philippians 3 and verse 8. I just don't have it in my heart yet to let go of where we had left off 2 weeks ago. So we took a little hiatus, a little break from that. But I trust Pastor Scott fed you. I trust Pastor Michael fed you. Praise God. We have good people, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. We have good people, and we're thankful and blessed for the connections and the people that we have. And God will bless them. And of course, we always take good care of both of them. Don't worry about that. Your pastor is a very generous pastor and taking care of Pastor Scott and Pastor Michael, so appreciate you coming hungry and helping them do what they need to do. But let's pray before we get into the message. Father, help us tonight, Lord. We're just so grateful. We're here for the Holy Ghost. We're here for the Word. We're here for your plan. Father, this is the time where we're strengthened. This is the time where we're built up. So, Father, help us. Lord, say what needs to be said. And, Father, we know how this works. You always use people. You use men and women that you raise up and you anoint and you speak through. And so, Father, I come just humbly tonight before you, looking for your help. Father, I'm not trying to magnify or elevate myself. I know that without you, I can do nothing. I'm very aware of who I am, and especially who I am without you. And so we need your help tonight. But the Apostle Paul said this. He said, Lord, grant unto me boldness. Grant unto me utterance. May I speak as the oracles of God. And so, Father, that's my heart's cry tonight, too. We need heaven tonight. We don't want man's plans, philosophies, opinions, theories, ideas. We want what you want. So, Father, I yield myself to you. We thank you for that boldness. We thank you for that utterance. We thank you for divine impartations. We thank you for revelation, for unction, Father, whatever, correction if need be, encouragement. Father, we welcome it all. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Father, we're here to hit the mark of what you would call a good service, not what we think would be a good service. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're already like 4 weeks into this, and so I'm not going to do a lot of review. I'm just going to touch on this verse. You can go back and review that. But Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul said this. He said, yes, doubtless. He said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Amplified, please, Kim Lai, on that one. Because that's where we get where this series came from. And, you know, when the Holy Ghost directed me to this, in this verse, you know, I've read this countless times, but it was highlighted to me. He was trying to get something over to me. But he said, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege. Listen to the wording here. The possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and then look at this, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And that talks about becoming progressively more intimately acquainted with him. But here we have the Apostle Paul, the star of stars in the Bible, right? The apostle of all the apostles, the man God used. He said, everything else is but dung to me. And that's not a good thing, by the way. If you're ever called dung and you don't know what dung is, don't walk away happy. It's not a reason to be happy. It's not a good thing. And Paul said, everything else I'm counting as that compared to this. He's elevating and highlighting something of what? Knowing God more, right? And he says some things there that are eye-opening, a surpassing worth, preciousness, right? The value of it. But the word that the Holy Ghost, the two words the Holy Ghost had me really key in on was supreme, which means the highest, advantage. Paul said in life, and how many of you know I like advantages? You should like advantages. There's a devil out there. He's throwing roadblocks. He's throwing pitfalls. He's influencing people, trying to mess us up, trying to make our race. Bible says we have a race to run. He's trying to throw us off our course, right? I want all the advantages that I can get, right? Why do track stars not show up at the Olympics ready for their race in sweatpants and a sweatshirt? They show up what? The least amount of clothes, body hair shaved. I mean, they're just ready to run. Why? They want nothing to hinder them. Why? It's an advantage to wear the right thing. It's an advantage for certain things like that. Well, I want an advantage in life with the pitfalls and the things, the hurdles that the devil's throwing at me. And Paul said the greatest advantage one can pursue in life is to know him more. So we've been talking to you about knowing him more. And just real quick, we saw that knowing him more, it leads to the faith that caused you to receive. It leads to peace regardless of circumstance. You can't afford to lose your peace. You can't. You have to protect it at all costs. And we saw that knowing him leads to strength for us, to cause us to move into and past that oppression. You know, on the other side of that oppression is blessing. On the other side of that door of adversity, there's great blessing for us, and it takes strength to get through that oppression. And knowing him, the Bible says, we'll get that strength. So I want to go forward tonight, and where the Holy Ghost has me, I've had a lot of time with him the last 2.5 weeks, and it's clear in my heart where we're supposed to go. But I want, you know, I sent a slick text out to you this morning. I accidentally sent one to South Dayton and said, I'm excited for church tonight. My fat thumbs got in the way and hit send button too quick. So South Dayton got a text saying, set it for church tonight. So they're probably at South Dayton right now wondering where I'm at. Because I never responded to correct that mistake. So they're waiting for me and I'll be there in the morning. So it's going to be a long wait. Hopefully Super Duper's over. They can go get a donut or two. But I'm not going to be there tonight. But I told them I was excited for it tonight. Apologize to them right now. But they're waiting anyways. So I don't know. It just happened. I said, oh, no, that's not where that's supposed to go. But anyways, I sent the message out, and I said something in the message about God is many wonderful things. Knowing him, right? When you know somebody, you learn things about them, right? Their habits, what they like, what they don't like, their interests, what they tend to gravitate towards or go away from, you know? Same with God. God has characteristics. God has abilities. God has things about him. And the Bible says he's only good. Good and perfect things come from him. So all that he has is wonderful. And a lot of the things that he has are the things that we need. That he as a father wants to bestow upon us. That he wants to see us blessed with. That he wants to see us receive. But I made the statement in that slick text. I said, you can only receive of him that which you know of him. Amen? Now, why is that? Well, we know this, that faith is how we receive the promises that God has for us. But faith starts somewhere. Faith starts with knowledge. And until you know, you can't act on something, right? You should know this when you watched G.I. Joe when you were a kid. At the end, they always said, knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe tried to tell you. You got to know some things because knowing is half the battle, but then faith comes in and that's the other half of the battle. Praise God. Hallelujah. G.I. Joe. I mean, who would have known? He was right on the money. But go to Mark 10 and verse 46. And some of you are thinking in your head, maybe, why did he have to come back? I mean, you're thinking, what is wrong with this guy? He's nuts. He's more crazy than when he left 2 weeks ago. Mark 10:46. You know, the deer are doing weird things in the woods right now, running around, acting all crazy. I think a little bit of that got onto me. I might be a little bit crazy today. Mark 10 and verse 46 says, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, he calleth you. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, that is an interesting question. I'm going to err on the side of saying Jesus wasn't confused about this man being blind. He wasn't dumbfounded as, hey, what do you need? They called him to come to him. Well, being a blind man, I mean, someone calls to come to me and I can't see, you know, I'm going to be careful how I'm getting there. I mean, it's going to be known that this person is blind in this story. And of course, you know, Jesus would have heard him, seen him begging and things like that. And he also would recognize, passing by, the cloak that he had on, all that, whatever. That doesn't matter, part of the story. But my point is, Jesus knew. But isn't it interesting that Jesus still asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Why? Well, Jesus is the need meter. God is the need meter. Everything you need, everything that's lacking, everything that's missing, he's your answer. He's got it all for you. All the confusion, he's got answers. All the worry, he's got peace for you. All the sickness, he's got health for you. All the poverty, he's got provision for you. Jesus had the healing that blind Bartimaeus needed, didn't he? But basically what Jesus is saying to him is, who am I to you, blind Bartimaeus? Because if blind Bartimaeus would have said, I have a fracture in my wrist, Jesus would have healed the fracture in his wrist and he would have still walked away as blind Bartimaeus. Right? How many times have we read about Jesus saying, according to your faith, or what do you need, or be it unto you according to what you have believed? And Jesus is saying, I know I have the ability, I have the want to heal, but I can't do anything I want. I need your agreement. I need you to know me as healer. Amen? Amen? And thankfully, blind Bartimaeus answered the right way, and said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. So what was blind Bartimaeus saying? I know you as healer. Blind Bartimaeus had a supreme advantage. He knew something about the Savior that caused him to receive something great. Paul said it was a supreme advantage because it leads to good things. Remember the story that I tell about, that Brother Hagin told, about the woman that came up for healing in her ears? I don't remember the percentage of hearing loss she had, but it was substantial. She came up, he found out what she wanted, you know, or needed, and I don't know if he laid hands on her, how it transpired, but anyways, ministered to her. And she started rejoicing. Oh my gosh, I can hear. It was clear, it was evident, something had changed. So they're praising God and excited, and she starts walking back to her seat, and she's hobbling. And Brother Hagin says, "Sister, what's going on there?" She saw it, told about some hip problem she had. And Brother Hagin's thinking was, "You just got a miracle in your ears. Why don't we get the whole kit and caboodle?" But her response showed why she put a cork in the healing power to flow into the hip. She came up for her ears, but when she left, she said something. He said, "Sister, what about the hip?" She said, "Oh, that's okay. I can live with that." Well, what is that saying? "I have no faith for my hip to be healed." What's she saying? "I know you as healer of my ears, but I don't know you as healer of my whole body." What she didn't know hurt her. Why? Because we can only act in faith on that which we know. I remember I went out to lunch. This is a while ago. That I remember when this happened, it brought my attention to some things about this knowledge business. And what am I trying to tell you? You need to know him more. And we're going to look at a specific area. And so I went out to lunch, and it was my turn to buy. I was going to bless. I actually had offered to take someone out to lunch. Well, I told them to pick. You know, the place that they picked, they don't take credit cards, hardly ever carry cash. I stole one of Abby's hair ties, and I have a couple credit cards and my license. I wrap it up and stick it in my pocket, and that's my wallet, you know, and that's what I do. And so they didn't have a credit card machine, so I knew that when he picked the place, and I said, "I'm sorry, you know, we still go here. I'll pay you back. I hate to do this to you, you know." "Oh, no, it's fine. Just, it doesn't matter, you know, if you pay me back, whatever, you know, all that." But my point was I couldn't do what I said I wanted to do. But afterwards, when I dropped this person off, I keep gum down in my center console. Big gum chewer, you know. I'm driving by, big bubble blower, you know. I was driving today on 86, and I went by somebody, and I noticed they were looking at me. I thought, why are they looking at me? I looked over, and I realized it's because I have a massive bubble in my mouth, you know. I just get them real big, you know, and so I like to chew gum, you know, at times. And so I was going to get the gum, and I remembered, I had a $50 bill in the center console of my truck. Well, the whole time I said, I'm not able to do something that I actually was able to do. What kept me from doing it? It wasn't the ability, it was the lack of knowledge. And that woman that night, did God have the power to heal her hip? Absolutely. But why didn't he? Her faith wasn't there. And it plugged up the flow, praise God. So you can only have what you know of him. And go with me to Genesis 22. I want to look at a specific area tonight, Genesis 22. This is an area that people need greater revelation in. We all do. We all need to come up higher. When you think you don't need to come up higher, oh boy, that's when you need to hit the ground lower and humble yourself. I'm telling you the truth. When you think you've arrived and you think you've made it and you think you know everything and you think you're... Oh, that's a dangerous place to be. Genesis 22 and verse 1, I'm going to read down through verse 14. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled the donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the donkey and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Man, Abraham's got a funny version of worship. But what was the worship? Obeying God. Amen. I mean, afterwards, I'd have thought, Dad, I never worship him with you again. You told Joe that we were going up to worship. When you are going to have your worship time, Dad, you do that solo. I'm going to sit out of this one. And Abraham, verse 6, took the wood of the burnt offering, laid upon his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Hear my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Good question. And Abraham said, My God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. So, I mean, he's getting ready to do it. Out of heaven said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. Thank God Abraham didn't have a hearing problem. All of a sudden just couldn't hear the angel. Then we got a new problem on our hands. I imagine the angels yelling loud, you know, stop. And he said, lay not a hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him a ram in the thicket, caught in the thicket by the horns. Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, it's a Hebrew term, Jehovah, which means the Lord God, Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Would you please pull up the Amplified in verse 14? Abraham called the name of that place, look at this, Jehovah Jireh, which translates in the Hebrew, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day on the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Jehovah Jireh is a Hebrew term. Jehovah means the Lord God. Jireh means provide. It means the Lord God provider. Amen? This is one of God's covenant names. This is one of God's names that reveal his nature, reveal his character. He's saying to eternity and to everybody for the rest of time, I want you to know the nature of me is to be a provider. Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. It's pretty familiar, right? Psalm 23. Look at the very first line that David utters in Psalm 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Praise God. I shall not want. That word want means to have lack. Why is he saying I won't have lack? Because I have a provider. When you have a provider, you don't have lack. When you have provision, you don't have lack. Right? He's just echoing what Abraham said about God in Genesis 22. David's saying, I have a provider. I won't want. I won't be in want. I won't be in lack. What am I trying to tell you tonight or ask you tonight? Do you know him? Now remember, I'm not talking about you've heard it before. You've heard me talk about it before, or it's just good to agree. I'm talking about when I say, do you know it? I mean, is your thoughts, your actions, your attitude, the way you talk, is it lined up with the Bible? That's when you know that you know. When no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the thoughts, no matter what the outward pressure is, you are talking, acting, and thinking in line with what he said. That's when you know that you know. Amen? Let me ask you, do you know him as your provider? Now, before you answer, there's a way to gauge this, you know. Again, what does that mean? You're in full agreement with that. The Lord will provide. Amen, Pastor Mike. Why are you worried about the lack of money you have in your checking account? Why does that trouble you? Getting in there now. Why does the economy and what they're saying and stock market and your job and rumors at your job and bills going up and winter's coming with gas bills going up and extra things needed for winter, why is that troubling you? If you knew him as provider, none of these things, now we can take this outside the realm of finances too, because sometimes we have needs that aren't monetary. But it's the same thing, he's still the need meter. But think about it, we'll focus more in on the financial realm and your provision and supply for your life. Why are any of these things tripping you up when you have a provider? We've all been there. Maybe we're there right now. What is that showing us? Got a little work to do on our knowing level. I want to help you with it because it's a freeing place to be. Amen. Not that I've fully arrived, but better than I have been before, you know. Now, go to Philippians 4:19. So we have Abraham testifying, saying this is the Lord God provider. We have David testifying, the Lord's a provider. But now we have our New Testament example. And how many of you know the Old Testament and the New Testament do not contradict themselves? They line up. In fact, the New Testament will shed light on the Old, and the New Testament lines up with this because God didn't change when he got hopped over to the New Testament. You know, a lot of people, really, if you want to know blessings that belong to you, you should just go back and find out what belonged to the children of Israel. The package deal they had was unbelievable. It was a package deal of peace. It was a package deal of protection. It was a package deal of favor. It was a package deal of blessings for their children. It was a package deal of financial supply. It was a package deal of healing in their bodies. And we jump over to the New Testament, and it's like God just came in and said, I'm canceling the package deal for you. No, the Bible says we have a new covenant with better promises. Whatever they had, we get at least that. And they had it pretty darn good. Praise God. But the New Testament version of Psalm 23 and Genesis 22 is Philippians 4:19, and it, the Word of God declares, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know what this verse is? It's the New Testament version of Jehovah Jireh. The Lord God provides. He said, I'll provide all or supply all your needs. Now, we see this, we quote this, we preach on this, you've heard me talk about this, but yet at times, we still find ourselves stressed and worried about the number we see on the bank account or the checking account or in our sock drawer or what the bills say or what the economy's saying or what our job's saying. We still find ourselves stressed, worried, right? Wringing our hands, losing sleep, stressing over it, yet we know Philippians 4:19, but do we really know it? Because if we did, it would translate into some things. But I want to help you tonight to know it, not to beat you up for not knowing it, not to sit here and make you feel foolish for not knowing it. We all need to come up higher. So let's come up higher. Are you ready for some help tonight? Go to Numbers 23 and verse 19. How can we know Philippians 4:19? Because I'm here to tell you, when you really know Philippians 4:19, oh, it's a great place to be. Oh, it's a peaceful place to be, because then nothing outward trips you up. When you know Philippians 4:19, you can sleep peacefully on those cold winter nights when your furnace is cranking and you have no idea where the money's going to come from. But when you know Philippians 4:19, you keep that heat right up. It's true. Yeah. When your kids start eating more and think, oh my gosh, my grocery bill, where's it? Philippians 4:19. Doesn't matter. When your hours at your work get cut, when the economy says this and that, when the stock market says this and that, when gas prices soar, when you know Philippians 4:19, it's okay. Ooh, that's a good place to be. That's a good place to be. I want to help you know Philippians 4:19 more. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. The first thing I want you to know, when he said, I'll supply all your needs, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Shall he not do it? Has he spoken it? And shall he not make it good? What's he saying? If I said it, I'm doing it. If I spoke it, I'll make it happen. The first thing you need to know about Philippians 4:19 to get it in your heart is God's not a liar. This is a revelation I got with this, and it'll hit home. It'll make sense to you. Because let's be honest, the Bible says Philippians 4:19 meets all our needs, but yet we could all say, had times, maybe current times right now, where I've worried about my balance. I've worried about the bills. I've worried about the lack of paycheck or how the numbers, you know, there's more need than there is supply, it seems like, than the natural. And we can all say, I've been there. I've stressed over it. I've thought about it. It's kept me up at night, right? Would we all agree we've been there? Let me ask you a question. Why aren't you stressed? See, you think not being able to pay your car payment's bad. Not being able to pay your heating bills bad. Not being able to pay your electric bills bad. You think losing your job's bad. You know what they don't compare to? Going to hell. Say, what are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Well, I'm going to ask you. Why don't you lay around at night stressed all night long thinking you're going to go, like, worried about going to hell? Why don't you? It's way worse than not paying your bill. It's way worse than your electric getting shut off. It's way worse than not being missing a couple meals. You don't even think about going to hell. But why don't you think it? Because you believe what he said. But yet for some reason, the thought of our car being taken away or our house being taken away, it's way worse. No, no, no. Burning for eternity trumps it all by a bazillionfold. But you never, oh my God. Hell, oh my gosh, I can't believe God. No, he said, your mind's renewed to your salvation. Same book, same source, same not liar, saying the same thing to you. So when the needs arise that you can't pay and there's no hope and you can't see how it's going to be done, why isn't your response the same to what is for salvation? Instead, we just bypass what he says and jump right over what he says into the worry category. But we don't do that with salvation. Why? Simply because we believe what he says. You have the choice to believe what he says about Philippians 4:18 too. It's your choice. Amen. Praise God. You know what the Bible says about Abraham? Romans chapter 4 is one of my favorite books in the whole Bible, I guess being, you know, mandated to preach faith, it would be, but I just love it. Just every time I'm in there, I see something. But the Bible says in Romans 4:21 that Abraham, this promise, this need being fulfilled, their life of a child that was absolutely impossible, no hope, no natural way of it coming, kind of like, you know what your paycheck says, you know what your bills say, you know how it doesn't add up, you know what they're saying, you know what's coming down the road. You can't see how you're going to cross this Red Sea of financial problems, of financial lack, of the poverty that you're seemingly walking in. You feel like you can't cross that. Well, that was what Abraham was facing with the promise of the need being fulfilled with the son. But the Bible says in Romans 4:21 that Abraham was fully persuaded. What was he? He was in faith mode. What's faith mode? Receive mode. Why? He was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. What was he fully persuaded of? You're not a liar. If you said it, you'll do it. If you've spoke it, you'll make it happen. Why don't we have that attitude? If the thought of you going to hell even comes up in your mind, I hope you're like me and you cast out, say, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I've received Jesus. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm heaven bound. Well, what about when the thought comes, you're not going to pay your bills, you're going to lose your house, this and that's going to happen. Why don't you say, that can't happen, Philippians 4:19, man. Praise God. That is the truth. It's a lack of renewed mind, it's a lack of knowing. He's not a liar, praise God. If he said it, he'll do it. What's he saying? I want to do this. Praise God. Now, in line with that, if he said he'll do it, just let him do it. What do I mean? What do I mean by that? Stop taking the pressure of what he said he'd take care of. Stop taking the pressure of what he said he'd take care of. He'll do it. You know, Pastor Scott's a blessing. Again, I want you to know I take good care of Pastor Scott. He'll admit that. I bless him. I honor him for filling in the time that he spends. You know, he gets the mail for us in South Dayton and brings it, because I still got to pay the bills, you know, when I'm off, and brings it home to me after service, drives it up to Jamestown for me and drives back. Well, you know, when that first came up, and I thought, wow, do I need to do this? And he offered it, you know, you want to push against that, fight against it. Like, no, he's offering to do it. It'll be a blessing to me. I'm just going to let him do it. Yeah. What am I saying? I didn't take that pressure upon myself. There's so many different examples you can look at. But you take the pressure on yourself of meeting your needs, of supplying for yourself. You don't have to take the pressure. God said, I'm willing to do this for you. If you want me to be your need meter, I'll be happy to do it. If you want to try to meet your own needs, fine. Push against me with fear and doubt and unbelief and wrong talking and wrong attitudes and wrong thinking. Fine, do that. But I just want you to know, I'm willing to do that. I could have fought Pastor Scott. Said, no, you don't have to do that. I insist. I'm not, because I sent him the post office key. No, I'm not going to send you the key. I'm going to do it. I could have done that. And that's what people do with doubt and unbelief. You don't realize you're fighting against what God said. When you worry about how it's going to be provided, you're saying, No, I'm not going to let you be that which you want to be in my life. Woo-hoo. Put the pressure on him. What do I mean? When you get, remember when I told you a story about Smith Wigglesworth, his early 1900s, apostle of faith, signs and wonders, miracles, raising from the dead, an apostle of boldness, miracles, signs and wonders, followed this man's ministry. And he's walking down the sidewalk, either outside his home or his ministry residence, wherever it was, and his secretary came up to him with a bunch of bills that they couldn't actually pay. She said, Smith, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about these bills? And he grabbed the bills, threw them up in the air, and said, I don't know. It's not my job to worry about it. What was he saying? Those are needs, and those are not mine. When you get to the revelation that the needs that you have are not your responsibility, wow! It is so freeing. Amen. Let me tell you something about my kids. My kids have no earthly way of paying for the gas bill, but they need heat. Paying electricity, their groceries, they don't have a way to do it. You know, to the gas in the car to get where they need to go, the things for their sports and recreation. They have no way of meeting their needs. None. But you know what my kids never are? They're never, ever worried about it. They're never, ever stressed about it. Why? They don't take that pressure upon themselves. Now, I know what you're thinking. You think to yourself, yeah, it's different though because I still have to write the check. I still have to do this. I still have to. Yeah, you do, but you don't have to be a doubting Debbie while you're doing it. We walk out what God does for us, but he's the source and the supply. Amen? And I love when Smith Wigglesworth throws up in there. What's he declaring? I'm not taking this pressure. That's why I so appreciate Brother Hagin. Here God led him to build the Rhema campus years and years ago, and it's changed the world. You know, churches started, ministries started. The people that have been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, healed. Things from his ministry, his books, the things that went in the prisons. I mean, that man's faithfulness. And when it's getting off the ground and getting started, we're talking millions of dollars. And the money's not coming in. And the bank's talking about foreclosing on the property. And the staff or whoever comes up to Brother Hagin lets him know. And he says, why are you talking to me about this? This wasn't my idea in the first place. If it gets shut down, oh well. If it doesn't get shut down, fine with me too. This is his. If he wants it done, he'll supply. I love that attitude. When you get a revelation, now think about this. Go back to Philippians 4:19 if you would. I said, I'll meet all your needs, God said. All your needs. Anything that's a need in your life. Mortgage, car payment, grocery bill, things for your children, heat, electricity, utilities, all that stuff. It's no longer after tonight. Your responsibility. The only responsibility you have is faith in what he said he would do. Now, you can, if you want to, take on the responsibility and fret and think, how am I going to do this? Winter's come. How am I going to provide for this? This is changing. You can do that if you want to, but God is saying, let me be your provider. I'll take that pressure off of you. My kids have such a revelation in their parents. They never even think about their needs. Now, again, what am I saying? That's a place we can get to with a renewed mind. Their mind is so renewed that mom and dad got this. Wasn't that what Smith Wiggins were saying when he throws up in the air? Dad's got this. And then what Brother Hagin's saying, fine, shut it down. I don't care. It's not my problem. Dad's got this. Amen. Man, we can learn a lot from kids. Put pressure on him. What a weight off you tonight. To go to bed knowing that mortgage, that car payment, that bill, that thing that's coming down the road, that's not even mine to care about. That's not even my problem anymore. Imagine if it wasn't your problem anymore. How happy you'd be when it's not your problem. Glory to God. How exciting that would be, right? When it's not your problem, you don't have to deal with it anymore. Stay there in Philippians 4:19. I'm trying to help you with this here. And we're going to close on this. There's a key principle for you to realize and get a hold of for Philippians 4:19 to work for you. And the key principle is this. And this is what trips people up. And the reason it trips people up is because a lot of people aren't in faith. You know what faith is? Faith is of the unseen realm. Remember Thomas said, man, if I could see him and touch him, then I'll believe. And then Jesus had to appear and said, go ahead, touch me, see me, feel me. I'm real. And Jesus said, you believed because you saw. Blessed are those who haven't seen. And what does the Bible say? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Or faith is evidence of things not seen. It's all about the unseen realm. We walk by faith, not by what we see. Everything in faith is about believing, not what we can see, not what we can touch, not what we can put our hands on, not what we can have control over. And that's what trips people up. But the key principle that you'll never get to this place of freedom in Philippians 4:19, if you don't have this in your renewed mind, is this. The need always comes before the supply. Well, let me say it this way. The need shows up before the supply. Amen? I don't want to say always because there's times that we'll get blessed and then some. But what I'm saying is that a good portion of the times, the need shows up and there's no supply. Well, think about this for a second. Didn't it happen in the very story that we learned that God's Jehovah Jireh? Didn't the need show up before the ram? Right? Think about Genesis 22. There's a need, an offering for God, and that offering seems to be Isaac. And he's getting ready, so it looks like we're in trouble here. It looks like this is going the wrong way. It looks like, well, my house is going under. Well, it looks like my car's gone. Well, it looks like I'm not going to be able to heat my house. Well, it looks like I'm not going to be able to provide for my kids. It looks that way. But remember this, all of a sudden, right before he came down with that knife, the angel said, stop, there's a ram in the thicket. What happened? There was a need. It showed up. The need was there. And when the need needed to be met, the supply was there. But you know why people get so tripped up? And it hinders them because it gets you to doubt and unbelief. Because when you can't see it, it freaks you out. But it doesn't make Philippians 4:19 any less true. Why do you think there's a supply? For the times when you're in need. What's in need mean? I need something. It's true. And so many people can't get on board in full faith, and they worry about their heating bill. Why? They're more focused on what their paycheck says, what they have in their account, than Philippians 4:19 says. Glory to God. Didn't he say, this will help you, Philippians 4:19, I will meet your needs according. This is big now, because if the next line is your paycheck, you might be in trouble. If the next line is according to the inheritance you have, you might be in trouble. And you might have need for worry. If the next line is according to, and I'm trying to drill something home to you because this is where your faith's been. According to what your paycheck, your checkbook, your savings account, your sock drawer, how big or how little your bills are, your salary, promotions. If it's according to that, yes, then you might be in trouble. Because all those things may never measure up. They might not currently measure up to the need. And they might not be able to take care of that need. But thanks be unto God. He says, listen, I'm going to be your provider based on my stuff. Which would tell me, why do you have your attention and your faith on your stuff? He never told you I'll meet your needs on your paycheck. I love when Dr. Dufresne used to say that people that were on Social Security would become cheap all of a sudden and stingy and stop obeying God. And they would say, because I'm on a fixed income. And what they meant was they get a certain amount every single month from Social Security. And Dr. Dufresne said, who fixed it? Your words are fixing it. You think God is limited by your Social Security check? I proved in 2 years that God wasn't limited to a salary of zero. God didn't flip out when he realized, wow, $2,000 short a month. Where am I going to find that? Didn't bother him. Because why? He wasn't looking at what Mike Anderson had. Now, if he would have been looking at what Mike Anderson had, God might have worried. But he's well aware of what he has. That's why this is how much he has. That's why he's so confident to tell the whole world, I'll meet it all. That woman would have had that revelation that night about her ears and her hip. He's got the bigness and the greatness. And he says, I'm so well acquainted with what I got, I'm going to offer the whole world for the rest of eternity that every single one of your needs, I'll take care of it. Wow. Woo, that's a revelation I've never had before until just now. I've got chills. That's a big supply. Glory to God. I had a revelation this week that helped me. I was on a conversation with somebody and was talking about, I made the statement that you're going to be loaded someday. And the reason I said that is because in the future there looks like to be a great influx of money that would come into this person. And when I said those words out of my mouth, I said, you're going to be loaded someday. Up from my spirit immediately, the Holy Ghost said, they are already loaded. And on the rest of my way home, I got an education. Look at what, this is what I'm saying to you. We attribute being loaded or well off to what our bank account says. We have a certain numbers that we're comfortable with and in our head that we'd like to see in there. We have a certain paycheck amount that we'd like to see. And then we would consider ourselves loaded or well off, right? Because of what a number on a slip says, a check says, or a bank statement says, we look at that and we either get happy or sad based off of that, right? And we know where our happy gauge is. And we think, and I was saying, you'll be loaded someday when you can see that amount on paper under your name. I have a bank statement here. Some of you will get this. Do you know how loaded I am? Oh, it's here. Pay your checking account. I'm not talking about my checking account. Do you know how loaded you are? How loaded am I, Pastor Mike? Everything. This is pretty cool because a lot of people in the world can't say this. Everything from this day forward that you ever need in life, for the rest of your life, there's a supply for it. Do you know how loaded you are? You say, yeah, but I can't see it. No, no, no. Your faith is showing us that it's more in what you can see on a bank statement than the living Word of God. See, Jesus was loaded on planet Earth. You know what made Jesus loaded? It wasn't the fact that he you know, flaunted it like a rock star, a movie star, went around, you know, with money and this and that. And it was the fact that everywhere Jesus went, His needs were always met.
That's right.
He had a supply everywhere he went. He's loaded. You have an unlimited supply of tapping into his riches and glory. And so when I said that, you'll be loaded someday, the Holy Ghost educated me and said, they're already loaded, and brought me to this verse. Oh, they are loaded. They don't have a need for the rest of their life. Can you imagine not having a need for... Now, you might have a need, but you'll never have a need that goes unmet. Praise God. You know, in closing, to say this, without this revelation, you know that there's times that God will create needs in your life? You say, he will? He did it with Abraham. He created a need for a sacrifice. He did. God's intention was never to kill his son. And the opposite, or the other side of that, walking that out, read the blessings that came on Abraham and his family. God created a need. How did he do it? Had him do something that there was no supply for. Because really, in your mind, your child is not a supply for a sacrifice. Abraham's obedient, but in reality, that's no supply. God created that need. And God supplied that need, didn't he? I think about the times of my life. There's even things going on right now and times of the past. But the biggest one I always tell you about, and I'm not going to get into it for time's sake, is my house testimony. I didn't drum that up in my own mind. I didn't just decide I just want that house. In fact, I wanted to run from that house. I saw the price and didn't want to think about it ever again. God said, go for this place. Well, if you don't have... So there's a need, right? All of a sudden, God says, I'm creating a big, fat need for you. Right? But you know why he's not troubled? Because he already knows, I already have the supply for that. I already have the supply for that. But you know why people a lot of times don't increase and go into more? Because God's offering them more and saying, come up higher. And their faith isn't at a place where, but I don't have it right now. But I don't understand how that can happen right now. If your mind was renewed to this, now I'm not telling you to be like foolish with your finances. Be led. But there's times God will try to lead you into greater that you better have a revelation, because when he led me to the house, there was nothing on the horizon. Nothing on the horizon. In fact, when the Holy Ghost told me to have Courtney quit her job after we finally started getting a salary, it was amazing because it put us way back again, not $2,000 short, but man, it put us way back again. And that was when we're trying to get into a new house, a new church, different things are going on in our life. And I obeyed God. Why? Had the faith to believe that me getting a house is not dependent upon my bank statement. My need for a bigger home and the home that God put in front of me is based on his riches and glory. Right? And I remember getting a text from Pastor Katie Stallman, one of the pastors, Pastor Tim's wife of Jamestown Church. She said, Pastor Mike, wow. Look at your life since you obeyed God and had Court quit her job. And she started rattling off the things, the increase that came in my life. What happened? A need was met or presented. Somebody had the actual faith to believe that God will supply that need, walked through that, and the blessings came. Amen. See how your life will be so much greatly benefited by knowing him this way? All the fear, all the worry goes away. In fact, it gives you a shot of faith to go for things, to pursue things, to believe God for things. Ladies and gentlemen, you're loaded. Well, my bank account, this is more real than your bank account. This is more true than your bank account. You need to start saying, I'm loaded. Imagine having that mentality. Do you think President Trump struggles to wonder where his next paycheck's coming from? Or how is he going to pay his bills? No. Why? He knows, I'm loaded. Do you think Bill Gates is stressing about his needs being met? Nope. You know why? He's got a revelation. I'm loaded. What would you do, child of God, in the dark times the devil's just throwing things at you? If you have a revelation, I'm loaded. Because I'm loaded, the gas bill gets paid. Because I'm loaded, the car gets paid. Because I'm loaded, the house gets paid. Amen. Well, are you glad I'm back? I'm glad to be back. I love you and appreciate you. We're going higher. Praise God. I'm going to meditate on this stuff till the cows come home. My goodness. He's good. I want to write something down here because I don't want to lose this here. One second. Just bear with me here. Okay. Perfect. Well, let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We're just so grateful. Thank you, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God provider. That's who you are. That's who you are. If he's not that to you, then that's not what you receive. You need that him to be that to you. Father, we praise you tonight. Can we just praise him? Let's just praise him for being Jehovah Jireh. Maybe you've been in doubt land and worry land. Just start praising him for being Jehovah Jireh. All those needs that are causing you to worry, causing you to be stressed, put the pressure on Jehovah Jireh. He's not struggling with it. He's not troubled by it. Glory to God. You are our provider, and you are faithful, Father, to do that which you've said you'll do. If you had the boldness to tell the planet Earth from then until now and going forward, as long as we're here, that you'll meet our needs, you meant it, Father, because you're well able to do, just like Abraham said, you are well able to perform what you said you'd do. You'll do it in our lives. Come on and say, he'll do it. He's going to do it, praise God. He's going to do it, praise God. I said, he's going to do it, praise God. We thank you, Father. We praise you for it. We glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I know every person in this room has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But maybe if you're watching online right now or in the future via the archive, you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life. I don't want you to go another 5 minutes without being a part of the kingdom of God. The Bible says, to as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. To become a child of God, that's a good thing. He's a good father. The Bible says in the book of James, he only gives good things. It's to your benefit to become a child of God. But you don't get there through religion. You don't get there by jumping through religious hoops or doing religious cartwheels or backflips. You don't do it by having your good deeds outweigh your bad, and you can't get there by money. The only way you can get it is through Jesus. Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We must receive Jesus. But the good news, friend, is he loves you. It's a free gift. You don't have to come to this church. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to worry about what you've done before. No, if you'll say to yourself, Romans 10:9 is the outline. The Romans 10:9 says, if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, it starts with belief in your heart. If you can say to me right now, Pastor, I've never received Jesus, but I sure would like to become a child of God, to begin to be in the family, to receive what he has for me. The first thing you need to do and check off, the first box you need to check off, it's an easy one. Do you believe in Jesus? I'm not asking if you know everything about him, if you understand everything about him. I'm asking if you, in your heart of hearts, in the deepest recess of your heart, you say, I do believe in him. My head tells me things. My flesh tells me things. People say things, but in my heart, I know he's real. You are qualified to receive him. The next thing you have to do is to receive him by confessing your belief in him. Romans 10:9 says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. I don't care what religion's told you. I don't care what church has told you. I don't care what the media's told you. I don't care what Hollywood's told you. I don't care what your friends and family have told you about how to get to heaven. Jesus told you if you'd believe and receive me, you'd go. And so if you're watching right now and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want to do that, you just get down on your knees and cry out to him and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. If you'll pray that and mean it, he'll do what he said he would do. He'll save you. He'll cleanse you. He'll become a father unto you. And then reach out to me. There's a number on the website. There's an email on the website. Let me know you prayed that prayer. I want to help you going forward. He loves you so much. Praise God. Let's worship him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We love you, Jehovah Jireh. We love our Lord God provider. We're going to know you more that way, Father. If you've offered it to us, we certainly don't have to feel bad to accept it, praise God. Hallelujah. And if you paid such a high price, it's to our benefit. We should want to receive it. We love you, Lord. We glorify you and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you run out of here, don't forget, put your offering at the end. If you'd like prayer for anything, come on forward. Thanks for helping us with all the COVID stuff and social distancing, all that stuff. We love you. Appreciate you. We'll see you next Saturday. You are dismissed.